Dr. Michael Noah with your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Asthma affects 25 million people nationwide, and every day 10 people die with it, with African American women and children being most at risk. Early warning signs include coughing, especially at night, or with exercise and wheezing. Almost all asthma can be effectively managed with a good action plan. So talk with your doctor today, and for more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
Hey, kids, it's Krusty the Clown. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. All right, where's my money? What? Chintzy college stations.
Just like a rainbow, I'm fading away. Papa leaves me most every day. Oh, he don't mean me no good. Why, you know, I only wish he would. I've almost gone insane. I'm forever trying to call his name. Look what you're doing. Think what you're doing. Oh, Papa, you caused my ruin. You caused me ruin. All my money I give to you. You make me mean and awfully blue. Oh, you'll miss me. You'll long to kiss me. Regret the day you ever quit me. Oh, Papa, think when you're always from home. I give you money, you don't want me no how, but you will love me one day somehow. And Papa, Papa, you won't have no mama at all. When you're always from home, I give you money, you don't want me no how, but you will love me someday somehow. And Papa, Papa, you won't have no mama at all.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.
I know a lot of you folks are still celebrating too, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, you must live, well, even they know on Jupiter.
Yep, in Arizona.
And the plutonium.
Everywhere.
That worldwide, The Steelers are the Super Bowl champions.
And we're not just part of the Steeler Nation, because we are in the capital, the heart of the Steeler Nation.
Yeah.
PA.
Pittsburgh, PA, here at Carnegie Mellon University.
WRCT.
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
That's right.
www.wrct.org.
And who are you, sir?
My name is Kevin Amos.
Oh, you're Amos. I'm Adams.
Yeah.
Better known as the radio activist, the digital dean.
Yeah, they know me as the troublemaker.
That's right. The godfather of radio. Was that the underground Rasta man?
Yeah, a few other choice words. But anyhow.
We're going to have a good show. We're going to have Dana visit us, hopefully, okay, in a few minutes. And all I got to say is this is our defining moment, Vote for Dope 2009. You got to stay tuned to hear what that's about. It's a serious campaign.
Is that pertaining to Michael Phelps or
what? Vote for Dope. I'm not sure. We beat W. He went home, so I don't know what
you're... trouble, you know. He's going to end up like...
I don't think so.
Man, they're talking about filing criminal charges now.
How? They can't prove it.
Got a picture.
You don't know what's in that picture.
Got a picture with the man with a bong in his hand.
Hey, Ricky Cochran, Johnny's brother. Defending. Shoot, I'd be like... He posed being silly. There's nothing in there. Where's the residue? Prove it. You cannot prove that in the court of law. If they bring witnesses, I'll tear them down in the finest cock.
Well, didn't one of the Steelers earlier this year get busted with smoking a blunt in his car?
If you're of a certain age.
Wasn't that our MVP?
Possibly. See?
Yeah, it was.
And so that improved his game. That's all I got to say. This week in Black History. This is right on time.
Connected that.
February 5th, 1945, somebody was born.
Mm-hmm.
Jamaican reggae legend Bob Marley, man.
It's Bob
Marley. Robert Nesta Marley, Nine Miles, St. Anne, Jamaica. He used his music not only to entertain, but to tirelessly spread reggae and the Rastafari religion from Africa to Europe and the U.S. Much of his music deals with the struggles of the impoverished and the oppressed. So you know we love Marley.
Robert Nesta Marley. And don't forget the other two people that helped him bring that music forward. You know, the late Peter Tosh.
Yeah,
and, of course, Bunny Wailer. Bunny Livingstone Wailer.
That's right.
Yes, indeed. And the I-3s.
You were hanging out with them, don't you? You got a picture like Phelps.
Well, I you
know, somewhere.
I you know, no. No. He said no. No.
I'm only playing.
You know, never.
Never
have you seen me
around
any artist doing anything.
He's smart.
Yes.
But he's only 24. But anyway, we digress. Give the boy a break. What else is happening? February 11th.
I didn't say I never inhaled.
11 blacks confront the ruling council of New Netherlands, later New York, with a petition demanding their freedom. This was probably the first legal protest action by blacks in American history. The petition was granted, and the blacks were free because they worked off the terms of their indentured servant contracts, which were usually for 7 years. But these blacks had worked up to 18 years. How do you like that? Almost three times. Shortly after this victory, however, no more blacks were allowed such contracts, but were instead treated as slaves for life. 1644. It shows you how long on this side of the ocean this particular struggle has been going on. Hubie Blake, Boren James, Hubert Blake in Baltimore, Maryland. He popularized, along with Noble Sissel, Ragtime.
That's right.
I kind of like that, too. The genre had its birth in black bars and whorehouses in southern and midwestern cities, but Sissel and Blake took it mainstream with hits ranging from Charleston Rag to I'm Just Wild About Harry to Shuffle Along. Blake died when he was 100 years old. I remember that. February 12, 1983. Also, on February 7th, Chris Rock, my man, that's what you get. Chris Rock, born in Andrew, South Carolina. He's the oldest of seven children. I know that house was full of laughter. Chris, on his set. February 6, 1820, the first organized immigration of blacks from the United States back to Africa occurred. 86 free blacks leave New York Harbor on a ship named the Mayflower of Liberia. The group landed in the West African coast March 9th and joined with ex-slaves freed by Britain to help form what eventually would become the West African nation of Sierra Leone. All right, what else, man? You got some breaking news.
breaking news.
Do you
want to
break it now or save it for late?
Well, for some of you folks ready to, like, you know, switch over to make that digital TV transition on the 17th, February 17th, the House has voted to delay the digital TV transition. The president expected to approve the new analog shutdown date of June 12th. All right, the House voted today, 264 to 158, to delay the analog TV shutdown until June 12th. The nation was 2 weeks away from the original date of February 17th for the digital transition, allowing broadcasters to replace analog TV signals with digital ones. But the Obama administration and many Democrats asked for the delay, saying millions of people are not ready for the switch. The bill, already approved by the Senate, now goes to the president for his approval, guaranteed a given. Still be resolved is the funding needed for more coupons to help consumers offset the cost of converter boxes, which has risen, by the way, over the last couple of months. All right. That issue will likely be considered as part of the economic stimulus legislation. The legislation passed by Congress provides more time for America to prepare for the digital transition and will allow more time for the government to fix the coupon program, said David Rion, president of the National Association of Broadcasters. Now, the original bill was called the Rockefeller Bill, brought from Jay Rockefeller in West Virginia. He was saying that low income and other folks have not been able to do this. Expensive TV sets, parts of the nation that aren't really wired or set up for cable TV, let alone a digital conversion, was one of the issues. You know, it's not just the coupon books and stuff like that, as people may think.
It's issue access.
It's issue access. You know, providing access to all these people in all these different neighborhoods, you know, especially in rural communities where their communities were not wired.
I can't imagine.
You know, so we're talking about, like, out in the country, right outside of Pittsburgh, right, and other places like that.
Well, I was amazed how many people, what did they say, maybe, is it 20%? It's a bunch of folks who were, like, using rabbit ears. I was like, who uses a rabbit ear?
Yeah, you're using the rabbit ears, and if you get a converter box, those rabbit ears may not work so well. You have to get a stronger indoor antenna,
okay,
you know, which you have to purchase alongside with the converter box. So there's a whole lot of issues there. Coming up in February 21st, our good friend Andrew W. Thornhill, who is business strategist on the digital television stuff, will be here at Carnegie Mellon. That's on Saturday, February 21st, so mark that on your calendar, and you'll be hearing all about this stuff. I'm real excited about this whole thing because, as you know, we've been on this like for a long time.
Absolutely, yeah. I can't even remember how long.
Yeah.
Well, February 21st is going to be a busy day. I got the opportunity to MC a program. It's going to be fun because of who's participating. They're a very serious subject. Akbar Muhammad is coming to town and Bob Law.
Okay.
So they're going to be at New Destiny Church on the north side. And we're going to be talking about, of course, Akbar knew and was a contemporary of Malcolm X. And also, recently, the FBI rolled in and took a bunch of tapes of his, books and things, trying to claim some kind of taxes or something, self-admitted.
Oh, yeah.
But he's been living overseas. Akbar Muhammad is the international representative of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Has been involved with the nation and quite prominent for years, going back to the days of Malcolm, and has lived much of the year in recent years on the African continent. So probably they want to see what's on his computer. Took his computer, tapes, and I just read in the final call that Minister Farrakhan put up $50,000. He has to raise $298,000 just to defend himself. Well, that's the thing, man. To me, you know, that's why I say it was the lesson of the O.J. Simpson trial. Not all of the black, white, male, female, you know, murder, sex. It wasn't that. To me, the story was, if you ain't got big bucks to pull out all these experts and technicalities, guess what? You go to jail.
I wonder what our new attorney general has to say about all of this.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to hear. It's going to be interesting also to see what people bring forward, particularly out of our community, our being the African American community, and some other communities where incarceration is just running rampant. Mm-hmm. They're just going crazy, locking folks up. Three strikes, you out, you're in there for life, and then when you get out with a felony, they beat you up the rest of your life and won't hire you. What kind of sense does that make?
Yeah, it goes on and on and on.
Now, that event coming up, now, Bob Law has a documentary also.
He's going to show his film,
Black
yes.
Radio. So
Black
I want to be there to, like, check that out, because mm-hmm. I just saw the agronomist a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, which is very interesting.
I was supposed to, in fact, the folks that listened to that.
Yeah, we had a good discussion afterwards.
I just sent people a note that I didn't even go to the black-white reunion because my nose would just run. I didn't think anybody wanted to be around.
Well, you sit
blowing my nose in the fact. So that was disgusting.
But, you know, so I saw the agronomist and I'm looking forward to, like, meeting Bob Law finally, you know, and talking to him and joining on that discussion that they had that day. Hey, speaking of events, well, guess what?
Yeah, met, but, you know, we had Law on the show.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Guess where I was this past Friday?
Jim? No. Hey, black male, whatever.
I didn't hit the bum.
Okay.
But I was at Holy Rosary School for Career Day.
You know what? Did you get a message at one point that that had been canceled?
No, they said because if the weather was bad, it would be canceled.
Okay,
because
I was told
and
it was canceled.
And they wanted everybody like, to watch the news.
And then somebody called. Well, my secretary called me, but I was already on the parkway heading to the north side.
Yeah.
He said, you know, that's still on. I'm like, well, yesterday said it was canceled. So.
Yeah. But it was good talking to the 6th, 7th, 8th graders and to some of the other folks that were invited there. You know, one of my oldest friends that I went to grade school with, he wasn't here, though. Our good friend Doug Holloway, who grew up with us on Upland Street.
Okay.
But, you know, he's
Doug's
the head of distribution for NBC now.
Yeah.
And I really want to talk to him about some of this digital transition stuff coming up. But Doug wasn't there, so I guess I had to email him, you know. Now, I haven't seen him, like, in over 30 years.
Let's get him on the show.
Yeah, let's try to do that.
Let's try to get him. Because he's been, like, at the top of his game for
years. Oh, yeah. USA Networks and everything, you know. So it'll be good. But it was really good to be there, talk to the 6th, 7th, 8th graders, tell them about what I do and stuff.
I think my president was there with him.
President of the CCAC?
Johnson, yeah, he was supposed to come.
No, but Dr. Hill was there. Robert Hill was
there. Okay.
You know? So he and I had a good conversation too. You know, he gave a good talk about you know how important it is. You know, you know, and I tried to connect the dots. With a lot of the young people.
Is our guest there?
What's our guest? Oh, yeah. Of course he was. Oh, yeah. Great program. You know, it was good talking to the kids, you know, and some of the other participants there. As a matter of fact, a bunch of those folks that were there, I'm going to try to get them on the show some, of course, during the year.
Okay.
Get them all hooked up here. Great stuff,
yeah,
man.
It's good
to go home, man.
Get it lined up.
It's good to go home and talk to the kids.
All
you know?
The time.
Yeah.
Let me tell folks if they want to know about the Akbar Muhammad Bob Law event.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 21st, too, so this is going to be kind of a little bit overlapping. So you're going to do double time. Some Thornhill and digital thing. This is from 3 to 6.
Right. So they can make them all.
1018 Bidwell Street and North Avenue, and there is a fee because they're raising monies, as I indicated, Legal Defense Fund for Brother Akbar. But 412-377-3358 is the number. I will be also letting people know about the first 100 days. These folks are getting some colorful graphics. But April 24th, 25th, we're going to Washington, D.C. for a State of the Black World mini conference. And some of the people were lining up. I only mentioned this. Well, a guy that was at CMU a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
Black History.
Did you get off to see him?
Yes, I did.
Did you talk to him?
I didn't even try. And it was packed. It was like.
You could have.
My wife guesstimated 600
folks. You could have talked to Michael Eric Dyson and say, hey, well, Mr. Michael, Bill Cosby sent me.
He's kind of. Hey, no. But yeah, he was decent. We talked about him.
Yeah.
On the air, his comments. And also, I mean, some of the things that are happening February 12th, I'm getting some nice action here. I guess I volunteered for this one, but was asked. down at Point Park. It's hard to say Lincoln University. Point Park University, 200 Wood Street. Is political assassination of black activists official United States policy? That's the question. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Apprentice Bunchy Carter, Fred Hampton, Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, George Jackson, Tupac Shakur. It's a compelling symposium program. We'll provide students and faculty opportunity to meet African-American filmmakers, journalists, and law enforcement professionals. Join the students as they display their creativity and knowledge, as well as be part of a debate on government corruption and unsolved murder cases. The event exposes the audience to Bunchy Carter, Fred Hampton, and George Davis, three historically significant black activists, largely unknown to me. Explore the controversies surrounding rappers Tupac Shakur and Christopher Biggie Smalls Wallace in the East Coast, West Coast rap rivalries and Death Row Records.
Is this discussion coming up again?
Hey. Now, it is interesting. Who's indicated, along with myself, Marita Bryant, Assistant Police Chief, Pittsburgh City, Jake Wheatley, State Representative, Bill Peduto, City Council, Dr. Oruhu Hotep, Rick Adams, who's that?
Who's going to talk about?
And Faith J. Dixon, Women in Film and Media. Who's, others to be announced.
Who's going to talk about Tupac and Biggie? Who's going to do that?
I think Bill Peduto. Like, why are you laughing, man? He might be, I see, you just like stereotyping the brother. He might be able to rap.
Like the Wi-Fi network.
He might be able to blow a little bit. Well, there's still time, man. You should get on the program. You could probably break it down.
Well, I definitely have some thoughts about that. But, you know,
I know you do.
Very few people like to have me come around and talk about any of this stuff. I think they're kind of like intimidated.
Let's go, because I believe our guest has to be in class, so we don't want to interrupt the educational process. So, okay. Dana?
Yes, I'm here.
Sister, how are you doing?
I'm doing well tonight. How are you?
Good, good, good. Now, what's this about? We're voting for dope in 2009?
Yeah, actually, we voted for hope in 2008, and we're voting for dope, meaning dope rhymes, in 2009. And the whole campaign is for Desiree X. He's done a series of Desiree X Delivers the News, or this week with Desiree X more specifically. You can catch it on YouTube. You can catch it on his MySpace, Desiree X. And what he is doing is he is breaking down the news in a way that has never been done and only he can do, to deliver it to the hip-hop community who normally would not be interested in the way that the format is delivered. And so he's done a great job. He's up for Best Artist this year at the Pittsburgh Hip Hop Awards, and he's also up for the Most Inspirational Artist for the year. And he just recently released his most recent and I think astounding release, which is our defining moment is the title of it. Check it out. It's defining the entire Barack run from the beginning to the end, sort of summed up in a 3.5-minute tribute to him and tribute to all the young, motivated, galvanized youth across the country who were inspirational in motivating other youth. And so, yeah, I think he's one to be acknowledged and one to be looked out for, too, in the coming months. He's also a community activist. He's a community organizer. He speaks in the prisons. He's working in the high schools with male mentorship, which our young men desperately need. He's a devoted father and of two children and devoted husband and a minister. I can't say enough about this young man.
He's a bad dude.
He's a bad dude. So we say vote for dope, because he's dope in all aspects of being a man and being a black man.
So, Dana, explain to everybody what the Vote for Dope campaign is exactly.
Okay. What we did was we were so inspired by Barack's movement and how he went around the old machine way of doing things and used the internet and used email and used MySpace and used Facebook and used Twitter and all of these things. And so this is what we're doing to get the vote out. To get the word out, to get the vote up for Desiree X. We've patterned that, and we're just using that same model. This is the model of the future for voting for, at least in our candidate. So, and we're approaching this as if it's a political campaign.
Well, what people don't realize that Paradise and Desiree
have been doing this for like quite a while now, for the past few years.
Yes.
And they've been really working hard on this because I get this stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't have the music to play on here, but you know, they have been doing this for quite a while. And like you said, the weekly video thing that he does on YouTube is groundbreaking because no one else in hip hop has been doing that.
Right. No. And you know, he's it's fresh, and what he's doing is he's galvanizing the people who would be most disenfranchised mm-hmm. and feel not a part of the process. Mm-hmm. He's making them a part of the process, and mm-hmm. he's making it cool to be a part of the process. So going forward, moving forward, the next group of young people who will be coming out of high school, who will be going into college, they'll be more astute, more aware, more open to receive this information. What Jasiri is doing and what One Hood is doing is we are building leaders. We're growing leaders and leadership. And this is the whole point of why he does what he does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not for the glory. It's not for the fame. It's for the disenfranchised youth to get them motivated, to show them options, and to be that role model that they may not have in their own home. When we listen to hip hop as it is today, which I define hip hop as conscious, moving movements, not rap. They're two different things. People get them twisted. You know, I come from that generation. I know what real hip hop is. But not to say that I downgrade any of the music of today, because it still serves a purpose. There's a point for it, and there's a place for it. But there's a bigger place for Jasiri, I feel, because he's about upliftment. He's about positivity. He's about change, social change, economic change. And we are putting all of this into his lyrics, into his movement. And hopefully, you know, you guys will be believers in, out there in Radio Land and join this movement. Join this movement to vote for
those. Well, you know, we have to use all these various platforms to get the message out. But I will say this, you know, and I will talk about the music, and I will say that more of the negative stuff gets out there than the positive, mm-hmm. especially in hip-hop music. And what Jasiri and Paradise and other people have been trying to do is break those mental chains.
And our guest, Dana. She's quite
Give me a little credit. Yeah. I am now officially a spoken word artist, hip-hop artist myself, getting back into the studio pretty soon. I'm officially the national director for colleges and youth initiatives. So that means just that I will be out at the colleges, I'll be around, I'll be galvanizing the students around these issues, and hopefully bringing some think tanks here. We're working on bringing some think tanks to the colleges, mm-hmm. Bringing Queen Latifah, P. Diddy, people who have become icons in the industry, but now have a different perspective on where hip-hop can go and what direction that they want to take it, and, mm-hmm. and underneath the guidance of Barack Obama, and hopefully, we'll be able to do a lot. Well, big things will be coming out of One Hood with regards to the colleges and universities around the city of Pittsburgh, and galvanizing, mixing politics with hip-hop. It could be because hip-hop started as a social movement. It started because of gentrification in New York City. It started because of Reaganomics. It started because of politics. People get that twisted, too.
Right.
Now, so we're taking it back to the beginning.
Now, to get these votes for Brother Jasiri X for uh-huh. Best Male Artist and Best Inspirational Artist, they can go to voteforDope.com. Is that how they do
it? They can go there, and there's a link on it that'll take them to, or they can go directly to the HipHopAwards.com. HipHopAwards.com.
Okay, and this year, when is the awards ceremony?
The awards are this Sunday, as a matter of fact.
This Sunday, okay.
Yeah, so the last day to vote is Friday. The last day to vote is Friday. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get that vote out. And real quickly before I depart from you, gentlemen, I want to just let everybody out there know that on the 19th of February at Chatham University, I am facilitating a pre-screening of a wonderful documentary that Jasiri is a part of. Paradise is filming. Carrie Mosley is a part of this. He'll be featured in the documentary. Harry Belafonte will be featured. Mr. Rooney of the Pittsburgh Steelers will be featured in it. Barack Obama, some personal interviews. what this is the President President Obama, we feel that his story has affected a lot of change in the minds and the consciousness of young people. And because of this, we're hopeful that this documentary will depict that. It's really taking on a perspective of young people that were taken by one hood, who would have been normally selling drugs, maybe in mischief in the streets, and galvanizing those youth, taking them from the hood, taking them around, and making them a part of the League of Young Voters, showing them that their voice was important, and it's really a story of their progress throughout all of this and their growth. So it's about them, but it's also about the movement around the country, because the footage has been all over the country. And actually, he started filming this prior to Barack even announcing that he was going to run for presidency, when he was still just a senator. So it's going to be great. And if people could come out on the 19th at Chatham University at 4 o'clock, come on the campus, check it out, be a part of history, because he's going to be filming and doing some live on the spot interviewing about people's perspectives on the Barack of the Obama effect and how it has affected them.
All right. Well, now you're going to send, I think you have, or you need to send me something on the 19th program.
Right, I will. Okay. But you can go to the website, which is presidentobamaeffect.com.
Okay. Right.
So that's President Obama Effect with an EFFECT.com. You can go there and check out the whole history of the documentary, and you can even vote for the series from that page, too.
All right. Now y'all got it wired.
Oh, yeah. And if anybody out there wants to have a free screening of this documentary in over there at your school or anyone else, just give me, Rick Adams a call, and he knows how to get in touch with me.
All right. The only thing I have to say for Kevin and I, tell Brother Paradise that we're like waiting for our documentary.
Will do.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right. Dana, she is a dynamo. You get tired listening to her saying what she is doing. She's done so many things and at such a tender age, including going into court and defending herself when she was wrongly discriminated against.
I remember when we had her.
Oh, yeah, but she won.
Yeah.
She won. She can't, you know, they make them deals. We can't tell all the fine points. But she's still in the business of trying to
we haven't heard from her in
educate young people on that. Well, she's been in school. Mm-hmm. She's a mom. And every time I turn around, she's an entrepreneur. She has some business things going. So a great family. And it's what the community is really about. And we get it all clouded and misty and everything else. And we see certain things and think that's like the majority of the community. It is not. It is the Jazeeras and the Kings and the Paradises and the Kevins and the Ricks and our family, our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors and people we work with. When you look around and really take stock of what's happening, it's a different story than what the media would have you believe.
All right.
All right.
So let's take a break. We're going to come back.
Let's play the theme song again and scat.
No, we're not doing that. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about networking tips. In today's economy,
all right.
Something that y'all should have been doing all along.
And what's our number here? We didn't tell nobody's number.
And the number is Erica 412-621-9728. You just want to do this so you can do it in unison. Yeah, he's funny like that.
All right.
But also, politics on the scene.
Yes.
We is on.
He's
and
on.
The Steelers. Yeah, that's my man, Charles Wright, who's a friend of mine, by the way.
You know,
serious as a heart attack. He was talking about it back then. You got to know what you're doing, whatever you do. That's the message for today as well.
I always say, if you don't, then fake it.
No, he ain't talking about no faking. He's about, like, keeping it real, real.
103rd Street.
Talking about. Yeah, Watts 103rd Street Rhythm Band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Charles Wright is still out there performing, by the way, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So patrolling.
My man. He's probably listening. He might be listening.
Uh-oh. What's up?
He's listening. Hey, Mr. Wright.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of different things going on. And, you know, going back to Charles Wright, you're going to do what you're doing, whatever you're doing, whatever you do. Right?
And you do it.
Yeah. So,
do it.
We've been talking about the Steelers. And about President Obama, you know. So, you know, I was talking to the kids the other day at the school. We were talking about teamwork. What does it take to make a team? You know, what does it take to build a nation? Do we all come together, you know, on one accord? Or do we all keep going in our separate directions, doing our own little things here and there?
I thought it was agitate, mobilize, organize.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Educate.
Educate.
And organize. How are we going to make the black nation rise?
All right.
Yeah, that's what they say, you know. But are we going to do that? Or are we going to keep on just talking the talk? You know? Now, we got a person that is president now that is not only walking the walk, he's talking the talk, too. And he's admitting when he makes mistakes that he said, well, maybe I shouldn't have did it like that. But this is the way it's going to be. You know? I mean, he's showing that.
He passed that bill today.
Yeah.
Signed it, rather. Which, health care for children.
Right.
It's off to a good start.
Yeah.
Very good start.
And a lot of people have been, like, taking that lead, but we'll want to see what happens here in Pennsylvania. We talk about single-payer health care and all those good things, too. You know? Now, we know we're living in tough economic times, but this is nothing new for a lot of us out here, because we've always been struggling. So you're going to talk about you want to be green in a neighborhood. You've always been green anyhow. Your ancestors were always doing green things, right. Growing gardens, you know, fixing up your house, you know, with the materials that you have that were right there, you know, natural materials and all those different things. So it's nothing new. It's just like re-educating yourself on what to do,
right.
And trying to teach others on how to do that too.
Well, they're coming up with some stuff. I know we talked about this one time before, because it kind of blew my mind. And sometimes I try to labor under the illusion that I might know almost everything. I mean, that's a ridiculous notion. But the fact that all the water that's ever been on Earth is all the water we're going to have.
That's right.
That just messes me up, because I'm like, no, we got to be producing more water. Then when I think about all the water we waste and do all kinds of things to, then just recently they were talking about the damage to the ozone, carbon monoxide and all that, that they thought that would like recover real quick. Now they're saying it might take 100 years or something. I'm like, or some aspects of it might even be irreversible. I'm like, uh-oh.
So it's like, what do you do in the meanwhile to like slow the process down and start making things right? Because it might not happen in our lifetime, but we have children and great-grandchildren, and they're going to have children and great-grandchildren, well, you know, for their generation.
And let's not be so sure, because now I would have argued with you if you said a little while ago that the polar ice cap was going to be like melting the way it's melting, that you can see it melt every year. It's like melting. Miles of it are disappearing. I'm like, wait a minute now. What's going to happen to the balance, the ecosystem? I mean, if nothing else, isn't a lot of water going to come up on our coast?
Well, remember like some 10 years ago that we used to have guests on come and talk about experiments they were doing at the North Pole with the HART project and putting holes in the ozone and stuff like that. People used to laugh at me and say we didn't know what we was talking about. But hey, there it is.
I think Sarah Palin is an example of that. You know, radiation on the brain.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, another thing that's going on, networking tips for success in today's economy. That was on the business page of the New Pittsburgh Courier. You know, success in today's economy. You know, you always should network. You know, not because of the rough economic times that exist right now, but networking has always been the thing to do. You know, to, you know, meet like minds and people who aren't like yourself, that you might find out that you do have some common goals.
Well, successful people have always networked.
Yeah, network, you know. That's why they have all these, like, well, now they have it on the internet, they have all these social networking spaces, well, business networking spaces too, like LinkedIn and,
you know, Plaxo
and all the different stuff, you know. You know, so you have all those different things, like, to connect with people, you know. And when you connect with them online, you connect with them offline as well. So it's always good to keep networking, keep meeting as many different people as you can, you know.
Well, everyone, I think, knows the saying. It's who you know, right? It's not what you know.
No.
But there's a deeper thing going on that I just really recently got to appreciate. And the way you said, no, I know you know it, is who knows you.
Yeah.
Now, so when young people, and not so young people, when you hear someone say, get yourself a mentor, and perhaps they say, well, or perhaps you say, I've tried, I've asked people, I've approached people, it hasn't really gone anywhere. You need to keep at it, you need to be persistent, you need to work it out in such a way, even if you got to say, look, so-and-so, I will help you do this, but during that hour, in exchange, I'd just like to talk with you and get some ideas or run some things by you. I mean, folks are busy, and the most successful people are very busy. Make them, us, Kevin, me, anybody that you think got something to share, make them share it. That's the only way you're going to really network and work your way through the system. I know, I don't know how many times, and Kevin, this has probably happened to you, I've gotten something done, a program, an event, an issue, something, got somebody to move off of the one and do something. And people come to me and say, well, how'd you do that? How'd you get that done? Well, I tried. I knew so-and-so, I called them, I went and seen this person. You got to extend yourself. Right. And no, they may not know you, but if somebody that knows you can call. And just imagine right now if you had been involved at Harvard, in Chicago, and now you knew one of these folks that now are in the cabinet of Barack Obama.
Right.
Then potentially you have the ability to get a message to Barack Obama. Not you and 100,000 people saying, oh, we love you, Barack. But that you might be able to say Susan Rice or Holder, here's a proposal. Who do I talk to? You know. And that's going to happen increasingly because, what is it, 6 degrees of separation. Probably between you, Kevin, you and I, we could probably go a little bit and find somebody that's like a close friend, if not a relative, of Michelle or Barack. That's African-American.
If we look harder, right?
Saying that.
You're right.
That
you're
might be able to say, well, at the family reunion, drop a little note for
you. You know, Rick and I always joke about who we know and everything, but, you know, the amazing thing about the people that we do know have had some really vital roles in African-American culture and just culture in general here in the United States.
Absolutely.
You know, you talk about your friend you went to school with that was head of American Express.
Yeah, still
We have friends. We have friends that used to work for in the financial market, like for places like Merrill Lynch and stuff like that. People that have been involved, involved in like the whole television thing, like cable TV and digital television, like Andrew, and you know, the list goes on and on and on. Our different mentors in the arts field and so on and so forth. So it's good to network, and it's good to know these people that you came up with, you know, because you never know, you can always fall back on it. We just talked about our friend that we grew up on in the same street.
Right.
It's, you know, vice president and president of distribution for NBC.
And as long as he's been at it and at that position,
right,
most of us say, yeah, well, I want to make 6 figures. Now he's 7, maybe 8 figures.
Yeah.
He's making big money doing that. Over the weekend, man, talk about networking and all, there was an anniversary celebrated.
Yes.
Tell the Truth at the Wyndham Hotel. And it was quite successful. Lewis Hopkindrick has a program on a station here in town.
He had an event.
And he honored 12 women. And it was tremendous. And also, one male, lucky dog, Chuck Powell of the URA. Let Barbara bite.
Now, Hop, I know you listen. I got to get on your case, man, because I did not know this.
Oh, you knew about it.
No, I didn't. I did not know that.
He went around. Well, you know, and I shouldn't admit this. I'll take a heap of beating. I didn't know I had some power to invite. There were some tickets made of it. And I didn't get them until like the day before. So that kind of messed up my outreach and stuff like that. Because I did want to outreach to people that I knew would come. And I don't know. I figured, Kevin, you would be. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Man.
9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
I get up at 5. So I was definitely up.
And out the house. It was cold. Yeah. Well, anyway, it was done to honor Sharon Ramsey Brentley, Yvonne Brown, Lottie Edwards, Miss Lottie, Tiffany Hunt, Karen West, Barbara Weiss, Debbie Lewis, Brenda Tate, Carol Baker Jones, Shirley Muhammad, Joyce Megerson Moore, Patricia Tucker, and as I said, Charles Powell. It was a nice program.
Okay.
I got to introduce the Reverend, who gave the invocation, and I got to introduce the Moore of Pittsburgh, who was the MC.
Oh, big head.
And then I had to help pass out stuff and do some work. Yep. But it was great. And Hop was his usual self, and he broke it down, and he's hoping to move his program. It's not a show. It's a program. Every week, weekly. And so he's garnered some pretty good support.
Well, good.
The judge candidate was there, Joe Williams. County Councilman Bill Robinson was there. Mr. and Mrs. Sewell, first ladies of, first couple of entrepreneurship. It was an interesting gathering of folk that came together.
Mm.
Hatley was in the house. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who all was up in there.
See, now this is one of my hopes with this change.
Keep hope alive.
What's going on? This been going on that people here in Pittsburgh, you know, from the older community, and us younger ones, and the ones younger than me, should be networking a little bit more. Right. You know, a little bit more. You know, we realize of all the hard work that some of the older folks, older than me, have done. Right. You know, and I definitely respect all of them. You know. But we need to network a little bit more on trying to bring everybody together.
And Jaziri, you know? And Dana, and Paradise, and Franchise.
Yeah.
We got to marry.
Those meetings of the mind.
We got to marry the new school with the old school.
Yeah.
The new technologies with the tried and true technologies.
Yeah. So that's what
we need them all.
You know, I like to advocate that, you know, and I hope a lot of y'all are listening. I'm not hating on nobody, but I just would like to see that more. You know, and you know, we're talking about, you know, how we galvanize together to help elect a president and everything like that. How come we just can't keep galvanizing together to keep building our communities and bringing people closer together and mobilizing more on different
issues? One thing we got to do a lot of work on, we've talked about this before, you mentioned it, alluded to it, how we're going to make a nation rise. Riff on that it's our consciousness that we need to work on.
Oh yeah.
And all of us got to do it, because we have been so disconnected, not that we did it ourselves necessarily, but we've been complicit, but just almost the way society and neighborhoods have developed or undeveloped, that we don't do some things we should do. For instance, where you can, do you think about, I'm going to go and get gasoline for my car from a black station, and the only one I know in all of Pittsburgh, well, two, in each end of the city, the Giant Eagle on one end, East Hills, and Quicket on the north side. But if you're ever in those areas, you ought to make a point to stop by and get some gas. Go inside and buy some food, whether it's legal fees, whether it's insurance, whether it's tax preparation help, carpentry, janitors, whatever you need, where we know there are black people that do that. Do we go out, and yes, go out of your way and even spend a little bit more money. But we got to do business with each other. That's what makes the community flourish. Do we bank at Dwelling House Savings and Loan?
Right.
Do we bank at the Hill District Federal Credit Union? Those are black financial institutions.
Right.
Are we doing these things?
Do we support some of those other businesses that are inside the African-American community that aren't necessarily African-American owned, but have been there for years?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you talk about the gas station, but Dick Valley has been on Bennett Street for how many years?
And
he's still going at it. The man has to be close to 80 years old.
I think he started gassing up Model T cars and stuff.
Yeah, you know, and he has a place for sale. I mean, he's still running, and he's always had, like, black folks working there.
Yeah, nice dude.
You know?
We used to have our vehicles.
We talk about people like
Operation
him,
Better Block.
You know, and some other folks. You know, so, you know, that's what it takes, you know.
Speaking of Lavelle, I'm trying to give you a key.
Mr. Lavelle, yes. I know you were.
Oh, okay.
I was going to get there.
I thought maybe a brain freeze.
Well, you know, we have a lot of people that are running for office.
This is true.
You know?
We have a mayoral candidate.
Ms. Robinson is running for mayor. She's announced that officially. All right? And I had made a statement by email to several people that said, are they trying to play the race card by not mentioning her?
Mm-hmm.
But now she's starting to get more mention.
At the very end of the article.
You know, so she's starting to get more mentions about that, you know, the fact that she's running and she's like, she's going like the old Pete Flaherty thing. She's nobody's girl.
Now that one, I'll have to talk to her
about that. But, you know, I kind of know where she's coming from with that,
right,
you know.
Right.
But, you know, and what she's talking about, bringing people together, galvanizing all those different voters from all these different segments of the city so she can run for office.
Right.
You know, so that's good to hear. I had a conversation with Reverend Burgess the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talked to him.
Okay.
You know, because I was in Homewood, so we were right there. So
right.
He was there at the event. Also, talked to him. I see there's a challenger in Council District 6, and Robert D. Lavelle, Daniel Lavelle is going to be running for council seat.
City
in District
Council.
6, which I think is pretty interesting, and that's all we'll say about that.
Yes. We'll follow this story with interest.
Yeah, and I see they just seated a new person in City Council in District 2 who took Dan Deasy's seat because he went through the State House.
Right, Smith.
And she was talking about bringing people together, you know, to make some of the communities safer, work with people in other communities as well. On City Council, so we'll see what happens with that.
And we need to, this is terrible, because I must say I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The sister on County Council supporting the bill for the Human Relations Commission county.
Right.
And encountering so much heat. And including, yes, gay and lesbians. I mean, folks, get over it.
But you know, we all
up in everybody's business, but everybody got civil and human rights.
Isn't that what Dr. King and others fought for? For everyone to have their civil rights?
Right.
You know?
Regardless of who they are.
Yeah, you know, not only was for black people in the civil rights movement, but that galvanized other people, other groups, to go out and start organizing.
Well, even Malcolm, from a revolutionary black nationalist kind of perspective, ideology, at the end there was talking about the human rights struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you're talking about human rights, who does that leave out? You know, aliens, space. I don't mean so-called illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
When I mean aliens, I mean folks who aren't from this planet. If you say human rights, then that's everybody that's a human.
Right.
So once we start picking and choosing, that's where we get into trouble.
Yeah, so, yeah, we can't be doing that. The time for that is like time to stop.
Time to stop.
Time to stop. You know, some of y'all don't want to accept that. I mean, it's going to take a lot of work for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people is going to take a lot of re-education.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, and it's kind of hard to get with because none of us have any real experience with these numbers, but if the first stimulus bill package was 700, well, I think it came out to 800 and something, finally, I believe. 815 or something seems to stick in my mind. And now, Barack's is up to 800 and something.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're talking, I can't even add it up, over $1.5 trillion. And they're saying that's not enough.
Well, yeah, but...
So the problem, now, some of it might be going the wrong place. I mean, that admittedly could be some of it. But just the fact that you could spend that amount of money, okay, because what did I say? Let's say 1.6 $1 trillion. That's what? 1,600,000,000,000,000? I mean it's a crazy number. I don't deal with numbers like that. I don't know who does.
Yeah, but you know, people were squawking about, well, he's giving $50 million to the National Endowment for the Arts. I said, well, I think that's a good thing.
Arts are important.
You know, arts are very important, especially when we don't have a lot of arts programs in some of our schools, you know.
And are we going to get that spark? If we're going to get that spark, then let's do away with the Steelers. I mean, what's important about that? Ain't nothing but a game. Except it's hundreds of millions of dollars. We enjoy it immensely. It's a great coming together. The community came together. It has cultural, social value as well as economic value. So now, there are a lot of stuff you can look at and say, why do we got that? Let's do away with public television. Come on. There are jobs there. There's inspiration there. One of the most skillful uses of art, I think we were talking about this last time, was that whole branding and logo business. I was looking at two cars today with totally different, but the same Obama logos. Mm-hmm. One was like kind of star-shaped, one was like a circle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just deep, the creativity that went into the various... And you could have a poster or a window placard or a sticky thing or a bumper sticker type of thing that fits your personality. Almost the colors you wanted. You know, if you wanted a white background or a blue background or a red background, or you wanted a square shape or triangle, or you wanted to stick on, or you wanted to hammer it on a... You had all these options. I've never seen anything like that.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, when you talk about branding and advertising and marketing and stuff like that, you know, everybody was into Obama, right. You know, where at first they weren't. Mm-hmm. But now everybody's into Obama.
From the beginning.
Everybody's trying to, like, sell Obama coins, Obama dollars, Obama this, Obama that. You know, and I just delete them, delete. And then I see the the commercials and stuff like that too. Mm-hmm. But then again, then you have the whole Steeler phenomenon.
Right.
Everybody's into the Steelers. Everybody loves the Steelers. All right. If you love the Steelers so much, you're gonna have to love your neighbor too.
I would think so.
You know, you're like honoring and cherishing all these different football players. Majority of them are of a darker hue. Mm-hmm. So,
and if they're
are you gonna spread?
They got funny hair.
You know, are you going to spread love and humanity to your neighbor 360 degrees, 365 days of the year as well?
Well, I know the challenge.
You know, not because they have like a 92 on their back or 43 or number 7, but just because.
Well, I know the challenge I'm going to push is the challenge, as you mentioned, Dr. King put forward, that there were three, a trinity of evil. Mm-hmm. To fight. Racism's one. Mm-hmm. We're not done with that.
Right.
We've made some progress, obviously, with a black president. But then the other two, poverty and militarism, war. Mm. We got big problems. We got two wars.
Yeah.
And there's other wars. The Tamil Tigers are over there fighting. Take your pick. Darfur, Congo, all over the place. Haiti, there is war. Not just rumors of war. Serious war.
And we got those brothers in Somalia taking those poverty in those ships.
Yep.
Too. Taking that oil, man.
Yep, and they're saying that story they're putting out, they're not just pirates. There's some economic warfare going on.
Oh, yeah.
And in the future, if you would, those listening that haven't done it, do a little investigate about wars of the future. Mm. You might be surprised. Yeah, oil's there. They talking stuff about wars about water.
Oh yeah,
I mean
people are fighting over water. They have been for
the
like
the Pentagon
3 years,
is
huh?
saying the major wars in the future are going to be about water, not oil, maybe food,
natural resources.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then when you get down, I mean, most people when you say natural resources, you think about oil, coal, stuff like that. But when you start saying it might be
the ground.
Well, and it gets real personal when you start talking about stuff like water and food.
Mm-hmm.
I know my perk right up. I may not immediately care much about coal. And I might be receiving heat from coal, but you start talking about food and water. Wait a minute.
You'll care when you can't get no bananas at the store.
Well,
you'll care for some of your meat eaters when you can't get.
I like apples.
When you can't get your favorite meat because it's like sky high.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we're in some interesting times, and as you said, everybody's going to have to step up.
That's right.
Step up to the plate.
You know?
And we're going to get some interesting guests in here in the future. Start lining up some folks to come up in here. Keep the ball rolling. Keep you educated. Hopefully you'll come out. Check out Brother Thornhill. Check out Brother Akbar. Check out all of us down there talking about political assassination.
Let's not forget about Black Tie Poetry coming up.
Yes, October 6th. That's right.
Black Tie Poetry coming up this Friday. Yeah. 6 p.m. at the Wyndham Pittsburgh University Place. The second annual Black Tie Poetry. We had Sister Sheila Bisley on last week. And the Brother Colyar called in.
She's in the court.
You know? And also hooked up with... you know, I did something else this past weekend. But let's talk about Black Tie Poetry
also.
Keep
it clean, man. Keep it clean.
You know? This is coming up. And you need to support the Langston Hughes Poetry Society of Pittsburgh. You know, they're going to have a fantastic program coming up on the 6th. So be sure to get out there at 6 p.m. And it's discounted prices for students. All right? And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So check it out. Check it out. You know, a lot of different acts.
We want to send our prayers and condolences out to the Broaddus family, too. We lost the queen mother of the family.
Oh, Brother Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah. He lost his mom a few weeks ago.
Right. You want to acknowledge that.
Yeah, and all the family, my extended family down there in Steubenville, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. You.
Yeah.
You still loud back there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
I've never met a city that I couldn't go back to. At least as far as I know.
Lots of roots there.
Yep. Man, we already out of time. We got like, what, 1 minute? I can't believe it.
Yeah,
I think we ought to scat out the hour.
No, no, no. We're not going to scat out the hour.
Hey there. You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 on your FM dial. WRCT.org on your web browsing device of choice. So, kind of part two to last week's top 40 countdown show. This is my personal things that I liked last year that maybe didn't make it into the top 40. Maybe because they're weird. Maybe because they're really long. Maybe because they're both like this Body Dillaway Head album of the same name as the band. The band Body Head teaming up with Mr. Dillaway. To do some stuff. So, we're on random schedule, so I'm going to take that opportunity to skip the radio calendar and just let you listen to this music instead. Isn't that better than me talking over it? I thought so. We'll be right back.
Seven.